If you have your Bible with you, and we do encourage you to bring your Bibles, even though we put it up on the screen, it's important for you to read what's before and what's after, again, so that you make sure that everything is in the right context and hold me accountable. I encourage people to do that. And after, like Paul said, I'm a man, I can be wrong, but I believe I have the Holy Spirit, and I believe that He leads me and guides me. So this morning we're going to go back into the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And it's been almost a month since we've been here, because I preached a couple of topical messages during the Easter season, and Brother Nathan was sharing last week. So if you remember where we left off, Jesus has just sent His disciples to the lost sheep of Israel to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. And so He's telling him and giving him instructions of what to do, where to stay, and how to perform that ministry. And he arrives to the verses that we're going to be looking at today in verse 32 through 33. And he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Let's ask God's blessing upon this word. And Brother Jim Dennis, would you ask the blessing upon it, the word this morning, please? Now, I know that as for myself, when I was younger in the Lord as a young Christian, I would read verses of Scripture like this, and it would strike terror in my heart. Am I the only one? There's always that fear, well, if I deny the Lord somehow, that the Lord will deny me. In other words, I will not be saved. And folks, it's important for us to understand what these verses really mean and to really, truly consider what Jesus is saying. I think it's important to remember, first of all, and consider that He's saying these things to these disciples that He is sending out to witness. These disciples who are going to face all manner of opposition. And there would be a real temptation to be close-mouthed and to not share the Word of God for fear of persecution and what have you. You know, there's a psalm that says, "The Lord knows our frame, that we are but dust," you know. And He understands the weakness of our flesh. And I believe that these verses here are so misunderstood by people that they often, like Paul's, Peter wrote about Paul, he writes in ways that are hard to be understood, whom many wrestle with to their own destruction. And I think that that's true of all Scripture. And this is one of the reasons why the Bible says that we need to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Because so oftentimes people lose their joy, they lose their peace because they don't rightly divide the Word of God. Now, someone here might ask, does this mean that the Lord will deny me if I don't stand up for Him in the day of the Lord? Well, consider the fact that the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter was literally cursing and swearing that he did not know the Lord before the fire, surrounded by all the people who were in the court there of the Pharisees, Sanhedrin. And yet, we find that after his resurrection, Jesus found Peter, and he said to Peter, "Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs." In other words, "Peter, keep on going. Keep striving and keep on serving me," is what he's telling him in the very literal sense. And what you find is that Jesus did not damn Peter. He did not disown or disqualify him from service, but he accepted him. How many times have you and I had the opportunity to be able to witness to somebody? I mean, the doors are just wide open. And all of a sudden we have this voice in our head saying, oh, don't say anything, because if you do, you might be persecuted, or somebody might say something bad about you, or even worse. And we remain silent. We said nothing. You see, you don't always have to vocalize a denial. A denial can be in your actions. Just like confessing the Lord really needs to be more than just a statement with your lips. It needs to be your actions. They both go together. We have to back up our statement of faith in the Lord with the life. The walk and the talk have to go together. And so what we see from this is that we have all failed and fallen short, haven't we? And if we were really to examine ourselves, we would all have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, but there have been times I have denied because of fear. Do you think that was Peter's problem that night? Now, the people would look at Peter and then look at Judas, and they say, well, what about Judas? If you read the scriptures, there is a big difference between Peter and Judas. Peter truly believed that Jesus was who he said he was. Do you remember when he said, who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus made the statement, he says, you all belong to me, and yet I know one of you is not, one of you is a devil. He knew that one of them was not really a true believer. But the fact is that Peter was a believer. The difference, again, Judas was not. And rather than repenting, he went and took his own life. But Peter, I'm sure he was on his face, wept some big tears and cried out to God, asking for forgiveness. And the Lord forgave him. We need to remember that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he became our great high priest. And he became also our intercessor, or our advocate. These are the two special ministries that he is basically attending to right now. He's praying for you and I right now in our weaknesses. And the Bible says we don't even know how to pray like we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You see, he is interceding for both you and I, and he knows the weaknesses that we have. And he is also the advocate who restores and forgives us when we do fall short. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 2 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You see, his heavenly intercessory work does not depend upon our faithfulness, but upon his faithfulness. If it depended upon our faithfulness, then our salvation is yet by works. Amen? But it's upon his faithfulness. That's why when you read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, when it says, if we endure, we shall reign with him. But then it says this word, if we deny him, he will also deny us. The same thing that he quoted there in the book of Matthew. But then he says in verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, Peter denied the Lord. Would you say that that moment, whenever he denied the Lord, that he was faithless? That certainly wasn't faith, was it? No. Faith would have said, he's my Lord. He's my Lord, and I follow him. But yet you see what it says. He remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So, that being the case, what does this mean? Consider the fact that Jesus, by his sacrifice, has secured for you and I certain benefits by that sacrificial work of the cross. Not only our salvation, but other things. Gifts, blessings. Plethora of things that Jesus wants to bestow upon his people. When we deny him, he denies us before the Heavenly Father and is unable to share those graces with us. And the fault is ours, it's not his. And this all has to do with eternal reward, folks, the crowns and the benefits like we spoke to you before. Now keep in mind, he's talking to these disciples that he is sending out. Don't want you to deny me, because I want you to witness and share with people the reality of who I am and what I've done for you. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Plain and simple, it tells us that those who are soul winners are wise because of the fact that they are rewarded with the brightness of His glory and the benefits of God. If you're standing up for the Lord and sharing the gospel of Christ, and when you're going to be confessed by the Lord, when you stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And here's one of the areas where people miss it. The Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is different than that of the great white throne judgment. We need to get it through our hearts and our heads that the Christian, when the Christian was judged, he was judged at the cross. That's why the Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is a judgment that we will stand before Christ, and it is a judgment for reward, a judgment for the benefits and what have you. Now, look here what it says in John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life. One thing God can't do is lie, right? And shall not come into judgment. Do you all see that? Okay? But has passed from death to life. We won't be judged for our sins unto condemnation. But we will be judged for what we have done in our body, whether good or bad, as it relates to reward. And the times when we have had the opportunity to share the gospel and we were silent, you're going to be diminished. You're going to be denied. You see, because of that fact. If you deny the Lord, He will deny you. Now, how do I come by this? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading verses 1 through 17. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wooden, hay or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. It's important, circle that portion of the scripture to remember it. But he will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And it says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, here's the area where it's very unfortunate how the King James interpreters interpreted the word. All you have to do is get yourself a strong concordance. You can look it up for yourself. But the word here for destroy should be interpreted diminished. Diminished. Consider what it says now. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will diminish him. He'll lack in reward. Because remember, it says, if you build with hay, wood, and stubble, in other words, the things that are worldly and temporal, you're going to suffer loss. But you're going to be saved, it says. Does that make it clearer and easier to understand? You see, God wants us to labor and to receive a full reward for our labors. And believe me, folks, this is not Carrie giving you permission to go out and live like the world, because you are going to suffer the consequences for living like the world, because you now belong to him if you are a believer. And he chastens those he loves. But he keeps you. Amen? And that verse of Scripture says, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Amen? I believe in the security of the believer. But not unconditional. A lot of times people deny the Lord out of fear. The Lord knows the difference. When somebody's denying the Lord out of fear, or they're denying the Lord because they have severed or burnt the bridge behind them. The Lord knows the difference. But again, we need to work and we need to labor for the things of God and do what we can to fulfill our call and purpose as believers here upon the earth. Our call and purpose is to win souls to the kingdom of God. Amen? I heard a story the other day that really blessed me. I shared this with the men's ministry yesterday. And there was a church in London who, at the end of the service, a man stood up and said, Pastor, I have a testimony I'd like to share. And he says, okay, well, I'll give you 3 minutes. So he stood there and he began to tell them how that he was so depressed. He was on the verge of literally taking his own life. And he was walking in the streets of Sydney, down one particular street, I believe it was called Griffith Street. And he sat down on the sidewalk and he said, out of the shop came this little old gray-haired man, came and laid his hand upon him and said, son, he said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? If you died today, would you go to heaven? And then he handed him a Bible tract and then just went back into his shop. And it just happened so fast that he just started thinking about it, you know, and he read that tract, and the more he read it, the more he thought about it. He had a friend who was a Christian. He went and talked to his friend, and his friend led him to the Lord. And so he was testifying there in that church that particular afternoon. The pastor thought, well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful testimony. But then he dismisses, and a couple days later, he finds himself in another meeting, and a woman stands up, and she gives another testimony. Almost the exact same testimony about this little gray-haired man who came out of the shop, handed her a tract, and said, do you know Jesus? If you died today, would you go to heaven? And he goes, what's going on here? I don't understand what's going on. This is a true story. And a few days later, back in his church, they had a visiting missionary from India. And this man once was into Hinduism. And he was aboard ship, and he found himself in Sydney. And so he gave his testimony to the church. He said, we were all going to go into Sydney, and we lit up the town. And he goes, I was very drunk, and I was staggering down this one street. I came to Griffith Street, and I don't know, it just seemed like this little obnoxious man came out of this building, came over to me and said, do you know Jesus? And if you died today, would you go to heaven? And he handed me a tract. And I at first thought he was obnoxious, but then I began to look at the tract that he gave me. And the more I thought about it on my way home, you know, the more I thought, maybe there's some truth to this. And so he happened to know a Christian that led him to the Lord. The pastor by this time is beginning to think, okay, Lord, you're showing me something here. What's going on? I don't understand. And so he was scheduled to go to Australia and speak in a church in Sydney. While there at that church in Sydney, he spoke to the pastor there and said, this is what's happened to me in the last few weeks. And he said, the pastor there said, you know what? I know that man. He goes, I would love to meet him. And so he took him to that man's little shop, and he says, he's not street witnessing anymore because he's very old and very frail. Went and knocked on the door. Little man comes shaking, opens the door, and invites him to come in. And he starts pouring tea, shaking, spilling tea in the cups. And so he said, what can I do for you, gentlemen? And so they began to relate the story to him. All of a sudden, tears began to come down his face. And he said, I accepted the Lord many, many, many years ago. And God so gloriously saved me that I made the commitment that I would witness to 10 people a day. I have never, until this day, known that any of them accepted that message. A few weeks later, the man passed away. Now this pastor said he knows that that man's reward in heaven was great. You see, God has something for you to do. What is it that you could do for the Lord? There's a verse of Scripture. I'm going to skip forward just a little bit. Give me just a moment here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that says, For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. My question to you, my brothers and sisters, is, what is your labor of love towards the brothers and the sisters, the saints, and for those who are in the world who desperately need Jesus? I was talking to some brothers yesterday about this, and I was encouraging them. I said, what if every Christian made that commitment to just witness to one person a day? I know that D.L. Moody, I believe it was D.L. Moody, made that commitment. And he actually went to bed one night, was in bed, and remembered he had witnessed to somebody. Actually got up out of bed, went out, and shared the gospel with someone. That man was a soul winner. And remember what we said from the book of Daniel. Those who win souls are what? Wise. They're going to receive a great reward. They're going to shine like the stars of heaven. Amen. What if we made that commitment to just share the gospel with one person a day? How powerful that would be. And anyway, and these brothers, they were talking, one of them had said, well, you know what? God never does the same thing twice. Personally, I think that is an assumption. Well, it's true that God does things different ways, but sometimes He can. If you decide, well, I'm going to do things like He did them. Whatever God puts upon your heart, be faithful to it, and you will reap the reward for it. Amen? I love this story because it tells me this man was dedicated to sharing the gospel without any evidence whatsoever of its impact upon those he was sharing it with. But it also tells me that God was faithful to remember him and put it in the hearts of these people to share to this pastor who would be at this particular place to let him know that his labor was not in vain. Isn't that awesome? Don't be weary in well-doing, for you're going to reap in due time if you faint not, the Scripture says. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and close right there today because I feel like that's where the Lord wants me to stop. And I just want you to feed upon that and think about that for a little bit. Because we're called not only to be like Christ, but we're called also to share Christ. And we all have a purpose. So many people live their whole lives long wondering, I just don't know why I'm here. What's my purpose? Folks, I'll tell you right now, we were created for the praise of His glory. Amen? Just remember that as you leave here today. Pray, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I prayed that one time. You know, I was a young Christian. I was working on my van back in the back there. And it is one of the first times I've had the Lord speak to me. It was almost like an audible voice, but it was in my spirit. That's the only way I know how to explain it. And the Lord spoke to me as I'm saying, oh God, show me what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? I mean, it was really a burden on my heart because I wanted to do something for God. And you know what the Lord said? This is what I want you to do. Whatever needs to be done. Whatever needs to be done. And so what I've endeavored to do is whatever needs to be done is to step out and do that thing. you know? And I can tell you what needs to be done without a shadow of a doubt. The gospel needs to be proclaimed to everyone. And you're going to meet resistance. That's one of the reasons why he said, you know, these words, you know, about denial. But then, I'm going to take that what I said early back. I'm going to read one more scripture to you. Because the next verse of scripture here, isn't that just like a preacher? You guys are probably thinking, boy, look at all those pages he's turned. I'm sure glad he's stopping here. And okay. In verse 34 through 37, he says these words next. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And consider the fact that even your own families will be your enemies. I have often wondered, God, why does it have to be so hard? Because if it was easy, you know, we'd have something to glory about, right? But when God does the work through us when it's hard, God gets the glory. Amen? And that's what it's about. We are created for the praise of His glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Is there anyone here this morning who's not made the commitment to Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to lift your hand right now? Whether you're young or old, I don't care. One of the things I was going to share with you folks is the fact that there's a lot of people who think, I go to church. I'm a Christian. Folks, going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Amen? You must be born again. And if you're here today and you have not been born again of the Spirit of God, you need to call upon the name of Jesus and ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Amen? There's a lot of people who think that they're a Christian because they're an American. Crazy. Location has nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not. It is a relationship with the King. Amen? If you're here this morning and you don't know and you're not sure that you're a believer, you can know. You can know. If you're here and you would like to meet Jesus in a real and personal way, would you raise your hand right now? And I'll pray with you. Amen. Again, we trust that you've all made that decision. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for the opportunity to be able to share the word with these people, Lord, our brothers and sisters. We love them, and we know that you love us, Lord. And we ask that, God, that you would help us to allow your love to be manifest through us and to us, Lord, and that, Lord, that others may be able to see you in us. And may your name be glorified in everything that we do, Lord. Help us, precious Lord, not to do anything that would bring a reproach upon your name. We know that, Lord, we have to contend with this flesh. But we also know that, Lord, we have Christ in us, Lord. Help us to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, that you may be glorified, Lord. And help us to work in labor, Lord, that we might receive full reward. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.